Lindbergh. Lindbergh had endowed a room. I got in the Lindbergh room. About 1928, this was.
Delighted
to see you.
And I will tell you there's a meeting which you will on that day because you need one of the most powering and public meetings we ever had in which we have a place in our memory. And so that you will see that we had thought of this meeting while we were away, we watched you a little sweet. And one
is
from Switzerland, and that's
is
the book
that
is still the original as we sent it here.
Is that?
And this is a little
city
of
Paris.
Right. No, I mean, we
sent
it,
this,
as I said, this is a book with views
of
Switzerland.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the mountains and the lake.
Yeah,
well, mm-hmm.
Yes, well,
and
the
mountains.
Shall I open
it for you? Oh, please. You will do it. Yeah, let me see if I ever. I look and see if I had a knife here. Got little scissors, but I don't think they're strong enough to cut this.
No, no, that's all
right. Oh, I see. I always succeed in messing these things up. Where's the... Now, wait a minute. I can cut it. Well, did you, outside your sickness, did you enjoy your trip?
Oh, bad.
Mm-hmm. We went by car. We were in Holland first.
Where?
Then in Holland
first. Oh, yes.
And then in Belgium.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my wife is devoted to this. She loves it. Yes. Oh, boy, I may hit with that when I'm home. Oh, that's beautiful.
The name is on the box.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ali. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here, I'll just put it. Oh, yes. We stayed once a week at Interlaken. We liked Interlaken almost better than any place in Switzerland. Good photography too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful. That is very nice of you. I'm most grateful. Most grateful.
Well, we put this back. Shall I leave back there?
Well, I'll just put it back.
Oh.
There, just so I get in the middle there.
You know, in the whole pigeons in glass made by Lalique sitting around.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. One is speaking in terms of other is drinking water, and the third one is being here on the house again. It's really most lovely. And this is not
on the Champs-Élysées?
Yes, on the whole point, the big
room. Oh, is that so? Yes, I know that.
You know, between the...
Used to be a very nice restaurant there on the wrong
point.
And you... I don't remember seeing it.
Well, the whole house is big and
oh, that's lovely. I'm devoted to it.
General, if I may summarize a few words, to know if you are writing to you what has happened with our foundation, which we have established in our one at that time to establish to perpetuate the memory of our boy, in the hope that we might perhaps thereby spare our parents the grief we have.
Yeah.
And, shortly before we left in Germany, we have established a membership corporation under the laws of the state of New York. And
It was leukemia he had, wasn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. So I remember. I remember that. American boy with you to... In a boy who has been carefully selected from a group, because while I know many irresponsible boys, I think the most of the youngsters I know, while they seem like all youngsters, a little bewildered, they're not sure whether they want to be a doctor or a locomotive engineer or president of the United States, still they are very steady going and they have a sense of obligation and duty. I'm a star. Well, I must say, particularly a boy that had been selected by the headmaster of the school.
He was not so very good in school, and the headmaster thought that the trip to Europe, especially if we were traveling with him, would
open a little button, you know?
Yes. Well, of course, that would be, then you would feel, you could see something you'd accomplished, and you'd awaken appreciation.
Yeah. Now, the thing was that I said to make these friends,
yes.
To get more money because we didn't have tax exemption. Now this has been changed. The Treasury has given us tax exemption as of the 8th of December so far for 1949. As they have put in the paragraph that said consideration will be given if you behave properly, you will give your further tax exemption. So I'm thinking of
it. When you were here, didn't you talk to our people from the medical center?
We were kind enough and we sent one day this directive.
Yes, that's right.
We talked about it, but at that time everything was so indefinite and I didn't feel that I could tell you very much or could tell you very much. Now, things are very really, strange in this world. I mean, when I was sick in Marv, I got sick. Probably long before, and when I met my wife on the 14th of June, the day before we wanted to go on our vacation, and she saw me in the evening, was 14 and 16, she said, "You were so terrible, what's the matter with you?" So I told her that I had a cold, and coughing, and serious, and temperature, and so perhaps you were not. So I told her about, and I felt uncomfortable for now and we see tomorrow I have another call. So we got my wife said, now we are not
goodness.
Anywhere we get our doctor and find out where the problem is. So the doctor came, didn't look carefully, because he said there's no question with bad pneumonia, thoroughly here, but he went to hospital at once. So I objected and I said, well, what should I do with that RO? And I don't know anybody in a small place, and I rather go to Newton, to Missouri, or go somewhere to Bern. And they said, well, you can't move, you have to go to hospital, it's already very late now. So I
my car, and I'm going to take my car, and they all get from the draft in the ambulance.
Yeah.
Oh, he went to the ambulance.
So we landed at the hospital, and there was most of the medical professor you can imagine. Professor Alder, he's about 65. He is a typically good house doctor. Somebody who takes care of him. And he has an excellent reputation, also he has no university in Aarau, he's a professor of the University of Missouri. And that is a lovely hospital. There are small units, one for pneumology and one for gynecology and one for surgery and so on. So there are small buildings in a big park. And he is the chief director of the whole hospital. And he takes care of the internal medicine. I only became aware that the situation was bad when the doctor who diagnosed my pneumonia telephoned the hospital and told him there was no room, and then he said that you have to take some meds at the university. So then I came in and we landed at Boston, and Professor Alder talked to me. I mentioned to him, of course, our boy, and told him about his illness and about our foundation, about that which our mind. Because as long as we live, we have to establish it. And I mean, nobody will act when we are born. It has to stand on its own feet as long as we are here. And I told him that we had this difficulty that we could not support any research because we had no money. We had, and my wife and I, we had supplied the initial fund. We have, which we thought was very sweet, books of our boy sold. Some of our friends had given something, but then we had stopped because we said, well, whatever we get, we have to pay too much to the government, and the way that we have taken it. But anyway,
besides everything else,
all the leukemia,
he said.
Oh, is that so?
He told us this, and he said, but I don't know what you do because nobody knows anything. He said, for instance, to give you an idea, in America, the general opinion is that cancer is spread, and I don't believe that. They can't prove me that it is, and I can't prove that it is something else, but I don't see that there is anything to do with it, and it is a name, or the name, but it is not. So he said, I will think this over and I will see what you can do. And a few days later he came and said, I have an idea. Why don't you offer a prize for the best paper on leukemia? And you will appoint a jury, and the jury decides to bid the farm, suitable for a prize. And he said, if you give $300, it doesn't mean anything to American or to Swiss, but the rest of the world, $300 is a lot of money. So my wife and I, we decided to offer $500, and that exhausted our first up to $50, which was still left. And then I said, well, anyway, we can supply it, let's leave some more, and we said, leave it to the jury to recommend to increase it $1,000. It is really a way of keeping those people alive, or at least finding something. I mean, some more is known in this of actual, practically quality treatment of leukemia. So, all this happened while I was in bed, and I was for a whole month in the hospital, and my wife was very much upset, and still doesn't look so well, because the doctor told her, now we have penicillin and sulfur drugs, but we can't cure everyone. So my wife said, well, why did you tell me this? And he said, because your husband is a terrible
speaker. Did you have virus pneumonia? Or some kind, you know, penicillin and sulfur doesn't help. That's virus pneumonia.
No,
Oh, then you had the other kind. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Too long.
I never have been sick in my life, and therefore I couldn't imagine that I had one. So, before we had a really good conversation, Professor Alder went to the Congress of the International European Society of Hematology in Montreux, which is on the name of Geneva. And he came back and he said, I told those people that you are offering a price, and they are just enthusiastic about it, and they have appointed immediately the jury. One man is Professor Wallenström in Stockholm, and the other one is Professor Wintrop in Salt Lake City. But I said, Professor Alder, we have not even talked to our members. We have to do something about it. We cannot, I meant the manager and the instigator and the originator, but nevertheless, it's now a foundation and we cannot. Oh, that will be arrangements on that you will see. And before we had here very much time to bring matters over, I got here two letters which are, if I may show them to you, absolutely fantastic. That is this.
I noticed that both of them want to publish it in their magazines right away, which I think is fine.
So, I mean, I talked to Mr. Levin, who I know
about. Oh, he's my very dear friend. Very dear.
He's one of our partners.
Oh, I see.
His wife
wasn't
my godmother
of all. Oh, is that so? Oh, I think Bob Lovis is one of the finest men I know. Medicals themselves ought to establish the jury?
Well, I mean, we wanted to suggest a few persons who we know, and that the societies seem to be very decided.
I think they're rather snooty about those things.
Nothing. what has been established in general purposes. So,
do you know DeWitt Wallace?
No, I
the editor?
Crowley.
Crowley. Well, I guess I've maybe. I know most of that crowd. But I should say this. They are never afraid to do anything the first time. They say they never publish poems. Well, I know of, I took that book home and I read it through. There's some most intriguing thoughts expressed in that thing. And you know, they do publish in the back of often the Reader's Digest, that symposium or a summary of a book. They might use it there. And there's this about it. What made me think about it? That if one of those they can make for one of its articles a direct contribution to a foundation and a worthy charitable cause, they are frequently far more interested than you would suppose. I had once a very fantastic offer made to me to do some things in the publicity field, and I laughed and said no. But then they came back and said if I would do them for Columbia and let them pay their fees to Columbia, why, they offered sums that were staggering. Because then they just wrote the thing off, you might say. It was quite a... Well, you will have someone that knows DeWitt Wallace. I should think that Bob Lovett probably knows him. And DeWitt Wallace is a very fine human, a fellow about 6 feet two, easygoing, and a nice man. In other words, he's as interested in humanity as you are. That's what I'm trying to get at. You see, they have no children. They have nothing to live for. I think they're going to give the Reader's Digest probably to their employees and so on. It's very tightly owned. I think DeWitt and his wife own it all. And therefore, they're free to do as they please. And if you could enlist DeWitt Wallace's sympathies even in your cause through one of your friends, you must have someone that knows him because he lives out of town here and published out of town about 20 miles, I think, 30 miles. Where is it? I've been up there, and I've been up to his house, but I never know where I'm going out of New York. I just go. The driver has to find out how to get me. But I should say I'm to get enlisted on your side because, first of all, he's got a magazine that's read by 13 million people in this world. And secondly, he is a humanitarian at heart. And so I say, through your associates, you certainly must, and you can get him in the lunch one day and just say, here's what we're doing. How can you people get in on it? And you might. Suppose it fails. After all, it's a worthy cause. It's nothing you have to be apologizing for working. You're giving your time and your effort now for someone else's sake, not your own.
And it seems from these letters that while France and Rome, that we have started there, which is something entirely new for the
about those things, but I'll tell you, one of my good friends downtown is Douglas Black. And Douglas Black is president of Doubleday, which is the largest publisher in the business. And Doubleday might be interested in taking the book, and particularly with this book, because again, Douglas Black is a man, he's on our board of trustees here. He is a very public-spirited citizen. And it might be, does some understand. Those things, when you quickly begin to touch the business world, I begin to stagger a little. I don't know much about it. But I do know that your associates know all of these people if you could just happen to think of the right one. As I say, DeWitt Wallace strikes me as being, if matter of fact, occasionally I see him, but when he comes in here, he usually stops and sees some of my people. But if I see him, I'll tell him about the thing. But in the meantime, I would just quietly seek through your associates somewhere where you couldn't have lunch.
No, I wasn't at the public office, because I'm looking for something. There's a student called by the
yes. Well, you don't, that fact doesn't mean difference with your partner. The fact is that through your business associations, you've got many people that I know people like DeWitt Wallace, Douglas Black, other people that would be interested from the book angle. Now, I see Douglas Black quite often. I can tell him about that part of it. And you could... I'll tell you what you could do. I will tell Douglas Black what your idea is, what your thought is. Now, I will call him up or see him or get word to him that you are going to drop him a note and have him come over and have lunch with him someday or something. You could just, or he'd come to your raw, you get together for a few minutes and discuss it. He could, with a copy of your book, he'd say, well, let me have it, let me take it over to my editor and see what they think about it. And they would tell you whether they thought it was any use of attempting through promotional methods to awaken the interest that you want. After all, you don't want it to be undignified, you want it to be in keeping with the memory of your boy, and therefore, if it will produce some funds, why, you'd like to use them properly. And, I think that I wouldn't know anybody better to talk to you about.
And I have still a question which I hope will not cause you to spoil it out. But it does not come back. I would like very much to tell you if we should succeed in putting this on the better footing than it is now. We should leave this foundation coming.
I would have no objection, associating myself or anything that is this worthy in purpose. I have certain reservations I have to observe, and that is, with a number put upon me, I cannot very naturally. Now, therefore, I may say no once in a while to a worthy one, and I have to be very, very careful then of ever saying yes. I've said yes to one for the assistance in the for the displaced persons of Europe in placing them over here. I'm an honorary member of that. I would, if the time comes and you should like me to be on it, if the matter of fact, it goes through a regular routine in this university, and it's my only defense. Now, in your case, in yours, I would have no objection whatsoever. But there's I don't know how many associations of a somewhat similar character have been told no. That is my trouble. If I haven't told no, and if I told anyone no in this particular type of thing, then I have no objection. I would be, of course, honored, because anything Bob Lovett is associated with is good enough for me. I think he's tops. Known him for a long time. So would say, matter of fact, when I came to New York, anything that I thought was helpful, I started to say yes. And I'm today members of boards for public institutions, public service institutions I'd never attended. I just got into a place where I couldn't do my work. And now, for instance, Metropolitan Art Museum, I'm on that board and I've never attended. Never yet attended. And the Boy Scouts of America and the Red Cross, and I won't join any board, you see, where there's any fee. And so I find myself in the terrific place. I don't know what to do, you see. So therefore, when you start to say no, then you have to also be careful. Because then if you ever say yes, you hurt some feelings. Now, the thing of it is, the time comes and you just put the thing on paper, and then my little staff goes and sees what I've done in the past. They look in the record, and then I'm always perfectly honest. I just say, well, this is what I said to others, and I just can't change now. But I would certainly do this. I would never, by any manner of means, refuse to do anything for a cause such as this, where I could do it without simply putting myself in an unfortunate hole of my own making in the past, you see. No question about that. I believe that this particular kind of, and it seems to strike the young so much, as far as I can see. Yes. Rarely does it, I never see it in the paper talking about someone very well advanced. It doesn't.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, I notice it every time.
No one with Miss Brinson give our kind regard to you.
That's right. She did through my wife. She saw my wife here sometime. Yes, that's right.
Because we met her in Hillen. She was staying with
Frank about. Oh, yeah. She's a lovely lady.
Yes, she's very beautiful.
That's a
child. What you call the charter members of the organization.
Yes.
And then you, in such thing, you get new members, sir.
Well, we don't want to ask many. We want to ask some of the friends of our boy, and therefore we have asked those two young ones, this one at Harvard and this one at Amherst, because we want it like the older ones disappearing. The older ones are all our age.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, our boy, they are now contributing their knowledge to their relationship, and we ask them sometimes for advice whether we should do this or not. But the actual executors of the idea is my wife, and I, she has been elected president, and I am treasurer and secretary. I mean, somebody has to do the work.
Yes.
Doing something for our boy.
Yeah.
And doing this for him, I probably, I help mankind. I mean, I can life, one day we would find something.
And enjoy life.
Yes.
And set up diaries for me.
Oh, yes, I know. A number of
them. Well, but when I was young, it was absolutely fatal.
Well, pneumonia, people all die from pneumonia and pneumonia.
Yes.
And we are not going to give this prize only to physicians, but also to biologists.
Yes.
Anybody who has had
a... Got an idea. And prepares a good paper.
We should have more money later on. We would find somebody who has an idea but cannot carry this further. We would give him some money.
Yes.
So, I mean, you ask me whether those are the charter members. I mean, I showed you there was one who literally had 5 members in order to start a foundation.
Oh, I see.
And the 4 other ones, I mean, the 2 boys that tend to call, by the way, you know, it's the director of slave service.
Carol Cobb?
I don't think so.
And
Mrs.
Rockefeller, they are just, I mean, this is very bad in the shop, which I have engraved here for the Red Cross.
until the staff says, all right, General, put your name down here, now you're a member. Because it was my only defense. And I do it that with everything.
General, would you permit that we say, we ask now and say that it's for the future? We will come back when we have
to. Yes, that's right, yes. And also, you tell me in the note, just as an example, if some people ask whether I can allow my name to go on an honorary committee of some kind. Well, that, I think, in the case of the European thing and one or two others. One was the children, something sponsored by the United Nations for preventing children from starving over the world. I did that. I was honorary president of that. But you tell me exactly what you would like for me to do. Let me have some gift the exact spelling of your name for you both. Oh, that's good. Oh, it's just, oh, I'm delighted. Delighted anyone should want it. Well, you're delighted. You're lucky. I say I'm always flattered when anyone wants it. No, that is, that's one left out of the group that the publisher gave me that was a compliment. So it's
No, I mean, I want the video.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you very much.
Many, many thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you very much.